Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Religion would not even be an issue except for the Bible.
Before we get carried away, let's read our Bibles now.
I can assure you there are millions of Christians who did not take parts of the Bible literally.
Forfeit all claims to your own authority. Stand without apology on the only authority that matters, which is the authority of God Himself entrusted to us in His Word.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We have a winner of today's Twisted Scripture Award. We might need a new award after this one. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you have seen the viral video of the woman who interpreted the Monster Energy drink can. That's right. A woman appears to be at some sort of conference, some sort of convention, and an individual is filming her as she explains the interpretation of Monster Energy drinks. This is the stuff that people, it gives you a little boost, it gives you a little zip. They sell them at the grocery stores. Be careful, by the way, of that
like
stuff.
Like Red Bull and that stuff.
Well, there's some that have a little more than Red Bull. They've also got alcohol in some of them, and you have to be a little bit careful. The clerks don't always card the kids. I don't get it. Some of these energy drinks actually have alcohol in them, so you can
be both
energized and
sleepy and kind at the same time.
Right, because who doesn't love that feeling? Energized and sloshed, so that you can stay awake longer to enjoy your buzz and lack of clarity and dangerous driving skills. The point is, you got to be a little bit careful when you go to the grocery store and when you go to some conventions, because you might run into this woman, who, by the way, is not only in one viral video this week, she's in two. No, she's in two, and I'll share the other one in a bit. You're going to go, no way. This video is from the Monster interpretation that we are going to make our way through. So what you're going to be hearing is an interpretation of this woman's interpretation of a Monster Energy drink. Yeah, that's right. This video has been seen, I think maybe even millions of times now, definitely hundreds of thousands of times. And this woman not only made it as a star in this video, but another video that's going viral for a completely different reason. Wow, and most people don't even get on one viral video in a lifetime.
I've never been in one.
This is her first viral video, the interpretation of Monster Energy drink. I mean, the Antichrist beverage.
Look at your M closely. There's a gap right here in the letter M. It's never connected.
Now, if you haven't, this is a video, obviously. Maybe you've seen the Monster Energy drink logo.
Yeah.
The M, the three little hoopy hoop, the little legs aren't. It's got the slashy slashes, also known in Hebrew as the letter Vav.
So you go into Hebrew. The letter Vav is also the number 6.
Okay, hold it right there. Okay, here's what she's done. She's decided that the people who designed the Monster Energy drink can, their logo of the little green spiky things, look enough like the Hebrew letter Vav. It's the 6th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav. Then she takes the 6th letter and assigns the number 6 to it. Why, you say?
Yeah, why? Well, how come?
Well, there are people who do that. This is actually an interpretive process. It's a numerology. This one is called gematria, where you assign a number to a letter. In this case, the 6th letter is the number 6. Then when you put the word together, it adds up to a different number. You divide it by a different number, and then you get that message. It's hidden codes inside the Bible. It's a lot of work, and it's not the way the Bible presents itself as the way to interpret itself. There's another way that people do it. It's called the equidistant lettering system, where a number will appear so many, a letter rather, will appear so many spaces between itself, and they go about the interpretive process then of trying to say, here's the hidden code inside of the Bible. Now,
I'm voting too much free time.
Think that's, well, here's another problem. Most of this stuff can't be done without a computer, because you, you can't find those codes, those little hidden messages.
Well, except for the authors. They could write it, and now they're in a computer.
But they never told us that that's the way to interpret Scripture. You don't read the Bible stating, look for the hidden messages. This is a completely imported system of interpretation, and this woman is applying numerology to a Monster energy drink can.
Short top, long tail. Short top, long tail.
6'6".
You could have here in Hebrew 666.
You could have in there 666. First of all, there's debate these days about whether or not 666 is the actual number for Antichrist. Second of all, do we know that the authors of the Monster energy drink can intended for that to be the symbol of 666? Answer, I don't know! Furthermore, there's another problem with all of this. Now, let's just say that the person who did the design work on the Monster Energy drink can is indeed embedding messages into the can. And unless you follow the religion of bibbidi-bobbidi-boo or paganism, so what power is there in that? There's no power. There's no message here that can do anything. Her concern is that's how they're sneaking demonism into the home, which is ridiculous. They did that already with Harry Potter. This is no way to go about the business of interpreting Scripture.
But my interest is the word monster. What do you see in the O?
You see a cross.
There's a cross.
That's right.
Okay. What has Christ got to do with an energy drink?
Well, that's it. New way to interpret 1 Corinthians 6, I believe.
Let alone the name Monster. So I thought, well, maybe this is a Christian company then. BFC at the bottom of the can, do you know what that stands for? That's the F word. Big can.
That's right. So you see, clearly it's not a Christian company. And by the way, the side of the can actually identifies. That's what they're trying to say. So we've identified 666 in the M of the Vav, 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 representing the letter M, plus a cross embedded into the zero. Why is that there? The hermeneutics lesson continues.
This is not a Christian company at all. So why would they have the cross on the can?
Arguably.
Antichrist. 666 in Hebrew. And then the Bible talks about the beast in Revelation. And look at Monster's ad. This is the statement.
The statement is, for the beast in you. See? See? The beast, 666, the cross, clearly, this is intended to do something.
You see these M's everywhere, hats, T-shirts, bumper stickers. Is there another agenda here? If God can use people and product, so can Satan.
If God can use people and product, so can Satan. Testaments? Is that what we're referring to? Ezekiel, Brad.
And look at it this way. Even if the M was not the issue, you cannot deny that that is a cross.
Well, I could actually.
What is witchcraft? When the cross goes upside down.
When you drink it. You tip the can upside down.
Sideways, really.
Bottoms up, and then the cross. Boom.
And the devil laughs.
And the devil laughs. Right there you have it.
Really?
There, you better believe it, Pally boy.
Something to think about.
What? Something to think
about. No, I'm not going to waste a second, sorry.
Oh, yes, you are.
This is how clever Satan is and how he gets into the Christian home and a Christian's life, and it breaks God's heart. Jesus said, my people perish for lack of knowledge.
Ain't that the truth?
And too much free time.
See, I and that's how the devil gets in.
I always thought the M on the monster can looked like werewolf or werewolf claws.
Oh.
You know, if you look at it, it's like werewolf claws.
Well, see, that's your problem. You're perishing for lack of knowledge.
There I am.
It's not. It's va, va, va. But now that you've got the hermeneutics explained to you, you say to yourself, that was fascinating, and that woman, she made her way into a viral video. Hold on!
There's more.
Viral video number two! I couldn't believe. I was like, wow, this woman, she knows how to get on the YouTube machine. You maybe have heard that at the National Cathedral. Hold on.
Old news. That was Friday. You're okay.
It used to be Anglican. I know. But the prayer thing.
The Muslim prayer.
They invited an imam to pray at the National Cathedral, which is not actually a new story. At the inauguration of Barack Obama, they did an interfaith service. There were Catholics and Jews and Sikhs and Muslims. This has already been done, and yet this story blew to the surface of the internet that at the National Cathedral, they were inviting an imam to pray. Guess who showed up at the service before he could start praying? You got it! Nanette Fabre. How weird is... No, it was actually the woman from the Monster Energy drink. Here you go.
Jesus Christ died on that cross over there.
She the one that gets thrown out?
Yeah, she got thrown out.
Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. We have built a lousy human mosque in this country.
Let me explain the call for the prayer.
Okay, so she gets escorted out.
Yeah.
By actually a guy in a purple robe. The Episcopalian. Oh, so apparently he's not entirely tolerant. He escorts her out. Now, her screed was basically against the imams. You could hardly hear it because she was off microphone. Of course, the imam was mic'd, but she was not. Jesus Christ died on the cross over there. Well, she was pointing to a cross. Not necessarily that one. We're not quite as literal as she is. Stating he is the reason why we are to worship only him, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. Okay. Amen to that. A man approached her, reached for her arm. She pulled away, but then they nabbed her, and out the door she went. Quote, we have built and allowed you here in mosques across this country. Why can't you worship in your mosque and leave our churches alone? You know, quite honestly, if I were going to stand up and make a scene, it wouldn't be against the Muslims. It would be against the leaders of the National Cathedral. They're the ones who invited. They are the ones who permitted it. They are the ones who are celebrating it. By the way, the same National Cathedral that does gay marriages, gay weddings, the Episcopalian Church, on paper and in practice in this country, has long been apostate. We should not be surprised at this. And while I appreciate this woman's zeal, I think it was aimed at the wrong people. It should be aimed at the Episcopalian Church, calling them to repentance. Now, just in case that was not enough, she didn't make it in this video.
Oh.
John Boehner, the head of the Senate, he's standing on top with his gavel.
The House.
Yeah. And then they've got all of the people gathered, you know, doing their house business to be led in prayer by an imam.
The peace and the blessings of Allah be upon you.
Wow. In your House of Representatives.
Assalamu alaikum. In the name of Allah, the most gracious.
Wow. 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 Now, I grant you, this is not a church. This is the House of Representatives, and it would appear that we are at this point. That more and more, if we are going to have prayers in public places, they must all be allowed these days.
The most merciful. Mm-hmm. Praise be to Allah, the cherisher, the sustainer of the world.
Wow.
Huh?
That's pretty exclusive sounding, that Allah is the cherisher and the sustainer of the world. Is that right? And there stood our leaders with their heads bowed.
The most gracious, the most merciful. Master of the Day of Judgment, Thee do we worship, and Thine aid we seek.
You know what? This is probably a more theologically robust prayer than most evangelicals offer up when they're invited into the House of Representatives.
Guide us to the straight path. The God of all the prophets and the messenger says in the Quran, He does not place a responsibility on you greater than you can bear. Everyone will receive the good they have earned, and vice versa.
Not sure what kind of an imam he happens to be. Just the same, that's what's going on at the House of Representatives lately. And this, by the way, talk about intolerant. Where's everybody squawking about this one? Maybe they just lost their liberal heads for a moment. Play on words. Because remember, the fellow who just got his head lopped off this weekend, it's just a onesie-twosie, unless, of course, you happen to be that fellow and his family. This guy's very exclusive about his beliefs about Allah. We're hardly... Don't say in Jesus' name! Don't say in Jesus... Not even at the inauguration! Don't say in Jesus' name! This guy, he's gunning for the exclusivity of Allah.
Let us pray. O God, bless us as we begin a new day. Bless this assembly. Bless the people and nation it represents. O God, at this time in our history, the challenges for our nation and the world are many.
Specifically Islamic!
O God, grant these men and women the wisdom, the guidance, and the strength to pursue compassion, justice, and sound judgment.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, that prayer went unanswered for two reasons. Number one, they don't have sound judgment. Number two, there is no Allah. This is Wretched Radio.
Why did Hitler believe it was right to exterminate those he believed were inferior? Why does America still practice eugenics? Could it be a natural extension of social Darwinism? Doctors David Berlinski, John West, and Richard Weikart ask and answer the question, what hath Darwin wrought? It's a tough answer, but it's an answer every Christian should hear. What hath Darwin wrought? At WretchedRadio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Now, all the prisoners here have been pardoned?
Yes, that's right.
Then why are they still here?
They refuse to accept their pardons, like this guy. Hey, Fred, do you want to accept the president's pardon?
There's no such thing as a president.
Yes, there is.
I've never seen him. Have you? Well, have you?
And then there's Joe.
Howdy, warden. Look how clean my cell is. That should clear up my record, don't you think?
Joe, will you just accept his pardon?
A pardon? Haven't I done enough to pay for my crime? Haven't I?
Too proud to accept the pardon?
Yep.
And then there's Sam, who's still waiting to hear from the King of the Ocean.
There is no King of the Ocean.
Well, he believes that true pardons only come from the King of the Ocean.
That's too bad. All they'd have to do is accept the pardon, and they'd be free.
Yeah, I know. Best I can do is just tell them about it.
Through Jesus, all of us have been granted a pardon for the sins we've committed. Has unbelief, belief in the wrong thing, or believing you can earn it, prevented you from accepting God's gift? A message from Lifeline Productions, 1-800-523-8669, lifelinepro.com.
You hear him mentioned all the time on Christian radio and television, but how much do you know about the Holy Spirit? If your understanding of the third member of the Trinitarian Godhead is a little sketchy, you'll love Drive-By Pneumatology. Almost 40 short lectures by Phil Johnson, Tim Challies, Trevin Wax, Milton Vincent, and Todd Friel. Drive-By Pneumatology, available at wretchedradio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel. Now here's a clip from one of our favorite pastors here at Wretched Radio. This is Alistair Begg.
The arrival of Jesus is a watershed event in the unfolding panorama of God's purposes. And therefore, it is not that the Old Testament, the Law and the Prophets, are somehow or another from a bygone era, and we can set them aside over in a room somewhere, perhaps put them in a glass case and say, oh, there were people who paid attention to the Law of God, you know. Rather, they are foundational to all of our discovery of who is this suffering servant who is to arrive. That's why we've said time and again that the way to understand the Bible is to keep your eyes on Jesus. Because in the Old Testament, he is expected. In the Gospels, he is revealed. In the Acts of the Apostles, he is preached. In the Epistles, he is explained. And in the book of Revelation, he is anticipated. So when we come to an understanding of who Jesus is, the Law is part and parcel of that process.
It never seems to stop people attacking the New Testament. They say the Bible's based on myths, or it's got tons of errors, contradictions. It's not the same as the New Testament that was written 2,000 years ago. Well, Dr. James White will answer all of those accusations and more in New Testament Reliability. This DVD makes it clear you can trust your Bible. Get your copy of New Testament Reliability today at WretchedRadio.com. Remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, pietism emphasizes the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Prepare to attend a funeral for a chicken. That's right. These are the people. We mentioned these people last week here on Wretched Radio. They like to go into public businesses, disrupting people's ability to make a living for their families. But that's okay, because the people who run restaurants and grocery stores are murderers. Why? Because chickens, they're just like us. Here's a group of people who are holding a funeral for a frozen chicken in a grocery store. I'm not kidding.
In memory of a life lost.
Young man in the gray suit and tie, he's now picking up a frozen chicken out of the freezer section, and he's going to start preaching
it's
a eulogy.
It's not food! It's violence!
It's both! They're putting it now into a big casket. Doesn't fit, but details. They're closing the casket, and now the young man is going to launch into his oratory.
We are here today to mourn the lives of those who lie dead behind us. Each one of these animals whose legs, ribs, and other mutilated body parts
are so tasty.
Your souls here had stories of their own.
Really? I can't wait to get that book. Can't wait to see that movie.
Really?
Hear that? He's getting heckled. Really? Wow. Now, you have to know, he's in the meat market, and he's got a bunch of people standing behind them, and they're all in black. They're holding flowers, and they're going to start chanting with him, but he's getting heckled already. Really? Chickens have stories. Would like to hear some of those, no pun intended, tales told.
They had rich emotional lives.
Is this real life?
Filled with desire, curiosity.
Really?
Pain and sorrow.
Yeah.
All cut short because they were born of a different species than us.
Different species than us, which means they're actually different. Now, here's a little something that's going on. This fellow is saying they have emotions because they do some things that sort of resemble the way that we do things. You'll recall, this goes back a long time. This is the descent of man, bring man down, raise animals up. You see, we're all basically evolved from the same rock. The idea of one of the first stories that I recall from this is, see, dogs have a sense of humor just like us because we're all one. No, they don't have a sense of humor like us. For instance, a dog, you throw the ball for the dog fetches the ball and comes back and you say, give me the ball, boy. And he gives it, you know, puts it down and then picks it up and runs away with it. See? As funny as Woody Allen, which frankly is never that funny. The point is, they try to say this looks like that, therefore it's the same thing. That's ridiculous. Furthermore, this fellow needs to understand that animals are made different than people. I cannot help but think about the book of Job. Three of my favorite chapters in the Bible, if you could say such a thing. You may recall, Job, a little bit of trouble because God allowed the devil to wreak havoc in his life. And by the way, don't forget, God is the ultimate cause of the havoc. And remember, there's a difference between havoc and sin. If you want to turn your Bible to Lamentations chapter 3, we did this Sunday in Sunday school, which is when we tend to do Sunday school. And this is from Lamentations chapter 3. This is Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He's the one who's been pleading with Israel, please repent, otherwise God's going to whack you, in fulfillment of his promise of the Mosaic covenant. They don't obey, they don't listen, God starts to send calamity. Emphasis mine as I read Lamentations chapter 3. I am the man who has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. He has led me and made me walk in darkness and not in light. Surely he has turned his hand against me time and time again throughout the day. He has aged my flesh and my skin and broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and woe. He has set me in dark places like the dead of long ago. He has hedged me in so that I cannot get out. He has made my chain heavy. And on it goes for 17 verses. The calamity that Israel, and by extension or inclusion, the prophet Jeremiah is feeling came from God. Has God changed his modus operandi? No. When the stock market crashes, why? He has done it. When a disaster happens, an earthquake comes, a bad thing hits, he has done it. A sinful thing, he has permitted it. God does not cause sin. God does not make sin happen. He permits sin and he uses sin sinlessly. That is how he works, and that is how he causes all things to come to pass that he desires to come to pass, exactly as he desires it. Not the open view, not the middle view, the sovereign view. Remember, dear Christian, when a hard thing hits you, have the theology of Jeremiah. He has done this not to, but for you, because he loves you. And he scourges you, or he's preparing you. He's disciplining you, or he's getting you ready for something to do in the future that you will need this experience for. For you. Now, back over to Job. How did God make the animals? Job, experiencing all kinds of problems, sent from God in that he allowed the devil to cause those things to happen to him. And his buddies, not such good pals, give him lots of bad advice, ask him lots of rotten questions, and finally Job kind of gives in and questions God, and then God unleashes on him. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel by words without knowledge?" That's you and me when we ask God questions. Why are you doing this? "Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you will answer me." And he goes on, "Did you create the world? Did you lay the foundations? Did you create the sea, make the sea go this far and no further? Have you commanded the morning, the sunrise, the sunset? Are you the one who authors life and death?" Don't forget that. "Are you the one who made the light? Have you entered into the treasury of the snow?" In other words, do you take care of the weather? Do you take care of the orbits, the stars? "Can you lift up your voice to the clouds and make it rain?" God's in charge of the weather department, all of it, good, bad, and otherwise. Chapter 39, he keeps railing against Job. Do you know the time when the wild mountain goats bear young? Or can you mark the birth, or mark when the deer gives birth? Can you number the months that they fulfill? Why are bears pregnant that long? Because God determined it. Why are humans pregnant that long? Because God made it that way. Or do you know the time when they bear the young? They bow down, they bring forth their young, they deliver their offspring. Their young ones are healthy, they grow strong with grain. They depart and do not return to them. Why? Because God made them that way. What about the whole, why is it that the birds of Capistrano return there every year? Because God made them that way. Who set the wild donkey free? God asks. He talks about the wild ox. Will the wild ox be willing to serve you? Will he be led by your manger? Can you bind the wild ox? Why is he so strong? Because God made him that way. And then we get to verse 13. And this is for our friends who are holding the funeral for a chicken.
Is that the Elton John song?
No, I think that was about Princess Diana. Could be confused. Verse 13, chapter 39, Job. "The wings of the ostrich wave proudly, but are her wings and pinions like the kindly stork's? For she leaves her eggs on the ground and warms them in the dust. She forgets that a foot might crush them or that a wild beast may break them. She treats her young harshly as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without concern because God deprived her of wisdom and did not endow her with understanding. When she lifts herself on high, she scorns the horse and its rider. Have you given the horse strength? No. Have you clothed his neck with thunder? Can you frighten him like a locust? His majestic snorting strikes terror. He gallops into the clash of arms, into battle. He mocks at fear and is not frightened. Why? because God made him that way. That's why a horse runs into battle unaware, unconcerned, because God made him that way. An ostrich steps on her eggs and walks away going, huh, that's kind of messy, shakes her foot and doesn't even care. Why? Because ostriches and people are different. Why? Because God made them that way. Didn't think that I'd ever utter this sentence, but for the sake of the Funeral for a Chicken people, chickens and humans are not the same.
You guys film it inside the store right now, so I need you guys to leave. I can't have you film, so I need you to stop
filming.
I'm sorry
for the trauma, pain, and utter isolation you had to endure. I'm sorry you were viewed as a mere commodity. You were not. You were a unique individual with personality.
No. Made by God for us to consume. How do I know? Because the Bible tells me so. After the flood, the floodgates of meat opened up and we can eat them. How do I know? Acts chapter 10, a little vision by Peter with Cornelius. Eat it all up, Hortensio. How do I know that we can eat meat? Because the Levitical laws that forbade the eating of certain types of meat, gone, entirely gone. And you know what that means? Bacon. Read the book of Hebrews.
Next to us is the body of a mother who wallowed in grief as she was dragged to the kale flour.
Next preacher.
They were innocent, born into this world as individuals with personalities and desires on their own. No different than you and me.
Completely different from you and me.
Short lives were cut short, needlessly and brutally. I long for the day when their sisters and brothers can live out their lives in peace and freedom.
Romans 1. Romans 1. Would somebody please read Romans 1? This is what happens. The further away we move from a Christian culture, this is just yet another fruit of what that looks like. And now my favorite clip from the Funeral for a Chicken. The open-air preacher trying to get everybody chanting, it's not food, it's violence. Listen carefully why the butchers retaliate with the chant, bacon, bacon.
It's not food. It's not food. It's violence. It's not food. It's
here come the butchers. Bacon.
It's not food. It's violent. It's not food. It's violent.
Why is it made of meat?
Their bodies, not ours. Their lives, not ours. Their children, not ours. Their families.
Now this kid is leading this shenanigan.
Their eggs, not ours.
Not
their.
A long-haired, hippy-dippy kind of guy. He could be a Southern Baptist with that haircut. Nope, and he's wearing he's got a well-fitted gray suit on. I hope it doesn't have cotton, because cotton feels your pain, you know, when you send it through that gin of yours. And this tie is tied with a decent knot. He was probably raised in a home where they taught him some manners. Except he forgot about them when he went into a grocery store to disrupt business. Not really for the sake of getting their message out, but for the sake of filming it, putting it up on YouTube, and then people see it. It's a propaganda piece. This kid will undoubtedly someday, perhaps, come to his senses, pay his taxes, and live in a suburban neighborhood. Right now his thinking, completely muddled, completely confused, completely affected by the fall. And as ridiculous as it sounds, it's only in this area, and to a degree perhaps more than yours and mine. We all have this type of mental illness, if you will, until God rescues us, saves us, and then transforms our mind, renews our brain through the Word. This kid needs the gospel. This is Wretched Radio. It is amazing how God works. While we see smoke and bombs and terror in Eastern Europe, the gospel is on the march. Tomorrow clubs opening up Romania, Moldova, Armenia, Georgia, more in Russia. please consider being a part of spreading the gospel through a Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe. Huge goal by the end of the year, but a huge opportunity. Visit tomorrowclubs.org.
Nothing has changed. I keep asking God, and the heavens are silent. Are those your words, beloved? Have you given up? Have you written God off as being deaf, uncaring, not true to His word? Don't quit. Don't lose hope. In Luke 11, 1-13, Jesus tells us to persist until we see the answer. We're to keep on seeking until we find it. We're to keep on knocking until the door is open. Is this where we often fail? It's easier to quit than to persist. Easier to throw up our hands in defeat than to hold on in faith. Beloved, if there's a delay in the answer, you can be sure it's because God has a purpose. His ways are not our ways. Let go. Relax. Wait upon God. This is Kay Arthur with precepts from God's Word.
How do we as Christians confront our culture with a message that is offensive without being personally offensive? Prepare to go face-to-face with our lost and confused culture. Join Todd as he dares to proclaim the gospel at Georgia Tech, the University of Georgia, and the Minnesota State Fair. Speaking the truth in love is a delicate balance, so get your copy of Face-to-Face at wretchedradio.com today. Remember, your purchase helps us proclaim amazing grace. Thank you.
The world's very first attack? This is Ken Ham, and we produce the Sunday school program, The Answers Bible Curriculum. The first attack in our universe occurred in Genesis chapter 3. Now, it's when the devil tempted Adam and Eve to doubt God's word, leading to disobedience. Now, the devil did this when he asked the question, did God really say? You see, the Bible warns us that the devil will use the same attack on us today. Because of the teaching of evolution of millions of years, I believe this attack is manifested in this way. Did God really say He created in 6 days? Did God create only thousands of years ago? Sadly, many people have succumbed to this attack of our day and have doubted God's word. And it's a major reason why so many young people leave the church. Equip your children with answers to believe God's word.
Our website of answersingenesis.org will equip you to have answers to defend our Christian faith. You'll be confirmed in your faith when you go to answersingenesis.org.
Evangelism can be scary. We get that. That's why we created The Biggest Question. The Biggest Question DVD presents the gospel in a clear, concise, and accurate way without being cheesy. And all you need to do is hand it to someone and ask them to watch. So who do you know who needs to hear the good news? A friend? A neighbor? A loved one? The Biggest Question, available in single copies or spindles of 100 at wretchedradio.com. And remember, your purchase helps us reach more people with the amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers. Justin Martyr was a second century apologist who was converted after seeing the courage and devotion of Christian martyrs. He earned his surname when he was executed for his faith. When asked to renounce his faith, he responded, "No one in their right mind turns from true belief to false belief."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this isn't funny. Friel? The entire program hasn't been. This is Wretched Radio. This from smh.com.au. That would be Australia, if I'm not mistaken. An article by one Elizabeth Farrelly. I think she wrote Dumb and Dumber 2, if I'm not mistaken. That was the number one movie, by the way, at the box office over the weekend. $36 million. Saving stupidity is what happened there. Dumb and Dumber, $36 million. Elizabeth Farrelly, internet porn, an entirely new child's game. This is an article that is disturbing, and I wonder if the church isn't, again, missing the boat. Why are we not hearing more sermons, more admonitions, more finger-pointing from the pulpit on the issue of pornography, when the pastor must realize that 68% of his flock is regularly viewing pornography? Maybe it's because 50% of evangelical pastors are viewing it, and they can't condemn something that they themselves do. at any rate, this is a danger that is monstrously big for children, and I think explains some of this we've heard. I just think that this Elizabeth Farrelly put this together in a very pithy fashion for us to grasp what is going on when people watch pornography. Some of the statistics regarding the kids. Studies report around 90% of children between 8 and 16 have watched porn online. Wow. In California, I believe. I read an article this morning about a sex ed class for fifth graders. Now, the school board claims, that wasn't supposed to be in the lesson. Somehow it just got in there. Talking about issues that I wouldn't even share with you. Okay, these are not even things that I would not talk about this stuff with guys privately. It is just not subject matter that Christian men talk about unless there's some sort of need in counseling because a couple is having some sort of an issue. The directions and instructions that were being given to fifth graders, shocking. And the school board said, well, it shouldn't have been in there with the fifth graders. That should be for the ninth graders. Shocking still. That's 15. And yet these school boards think that it's their job to educate children on issues of intimacy? Absolutely staggering. The number of kids watching porn, engaged in sexual activity. To me, this whole sex ed business does nothing but contribute to a culture of early sexuality for children. 90% of kids between 8 and 16 have watched porn online. And about half do it regularly. This is what she said in this article. Putting a boy in front of porn is like giving your drug-addled kid heroin. Why? Why? Where's she getting at here? Boys between the age of 12 and 17 are the largest consumer group for the porn industry. Did you know that? It is the dopamine that is generated in the brain that appears to get these kids addicted. When you watch porn, something happens. There's something that is created in your brain, just like with a drug that creates something in your brain, a euphoria, a feeling, a buzz, a mellowing, whatever the drug happens to be. The drug of pornography is like dopamine. It's the modern child's drug of choice. When a boy watches porn, this drug is produced, and guess what his body then craves? That drug. So what is he forced to do? Go back to the source that gives him the drugged feeling. Hence pornography addiction. Why do so many men struggle with this? Why are they actually addicted? It would seem, yes, they actually are. That their body, it's like, chocolate, must have chocolate, must have, okay, so if your body is sending out something that says, chocolate, must have chocolate, what are you going to do? You're going to go to the park and shoot hoops? No, you're going to get chocolate. You will find chocolate. And then the doctor comes along and says, you know, the chocolate's giving you acne, and your body's going, chocolate, must have chocolate. The doctor tells you, you know, I've done a blood test, the chocolate, wow, your arteries are clogged. What does your body say? Chocolate, must have chocolate. Fear tactics don't get the job done. These kids are addicted to it because of what it produces in the brain. Internet porn is doubly dissociative. There's the screen distancing effect. You're doing something with a screen. Then there's the emotionlessness, misogyny, brutality, and outright violence of the content. It's a double whammy. These factors, supply, variety, the anonymity, disengagement, make internet porn an entirely new game. What educator, I think they used to call them teachers, Gary Wilson calls one of the fastest moving and most global experiments ever unconsciously conducted. Oh, wow, is that true? Right now, all over the globe, not just in the West, all over the globe, the ability for people to get porn and look at porn, and nobody's saying, implications, please? Any possible fallout from this? And we don't even dare question it. Why? Because the majority of people are doing it. We're in trouble here. This is a grand sociological experiment. and nobody knows the outcome. I know the outcome. I know. We can't argue from slippery slope. I will. Do you think that this that men watching porn is enhancing the treatment of women? NFL, do we really think that watching porn is making gentlemen of us all? In The Demise of Guys, Philip Zimbardo and Nikita Duncan note that many conditions for which boys and young men are routinely medicated, ADHD, OCD, obsessive-compulsive, social anxiety, performance anxiety, depression, mimic porn addiction. Here's a sentence for you. If your kid's on Ritalin, check his internet habits. Whoa.
Mm.
Is that possible? Have we not all been wondering why the increase in these behaviors and these DSM-5 issues? Now, we also know that the broadening definitions have allowed for virtually every... Jerry Seinfeld now has come out and said, apparently I have autism. That's how broad the autism spectrum is. It's ridiculous. ADHD, I get that. But at the same time, I think most students of behavior in kids would recognize there is something different out there. The number of kids with anger issues, anxiety issues, it does seem to be increasing. Could it be because they're watching pornography? I'm just asking, like this article did. The brain's pleasure center floods with dopamine. Next day it wants more and more. Over time, three things happen. One, habituation requires ever greater doses for the same pleasure. More, weirder, nastier. Never satisfied.
Same with the alcoholic drug.
Exactly. Yep. You start with cigarettes, you move to pot, and off to the races you go, and then you're doing the crack and the LSD, and the, you just have, it's got to be more, weirder, nastier. The same thing is true with pornography. Alcohol, too. Started with beer, and the next thing I know, I'm addicted to Jack Daniels. Why? Because it's got to be stronger. You got to do more. You got to drink more, consume more. It's got to be more stronger. That's what addiction does. Pornography, no different. Number two, the pleasure becomes strongly associated not with talk or courtship, but solitude, gloom, voyeurism, screens, and emotional disengagement. Now, I'm not talking about your child or anybody else's child, but isn't it interesting that right now, if pornography does indeed produce dopamine, which creates addiction, which then, because of the source of their addiction, the separation, the non-relational aspect of it, the voyeuristic element, that it also creates disassociation, not desiring to talk, not desiring to be with people, separated. And wow, aren't the kids more and more these days? You don't even have to talk face-to-face. You don't have to talk on the phone. You can text. You can Facebook without ever seeing a face. You can sit in your room and have sort of relationships without ever leaving your home. Number three, the neural pathways reshape accordingly. It's an addiction known as porn brain. Young males are made morose by failure of desire, inability to want real girls, real smiles, real relationship. Normalize this across a generation, and you're not just changing social patterns, you're affecting serious population control. Less babies is what's going to happen. That's the prediction here. We are not even close to understanding where this is going. How many are pondering it? And how many are speaking out about it? Right? Okay. I know. We can't get our president to speak out against Islam. I get that. He can only speak out about issues that appear to be most of interest to him at a beer summit. I don't expect him to speak out. Where are our leaders? Where are people speaking out about this and saying, hey, we need to have an honest conversation about this? We're not going to blush to talk about this because most of you are looking at it. We've got to talk about porn, America, Canada, Australia, England. We're going to talk about what is going on here. From the article, talking about internet porn, a child's game. Brains eventually recover. It takes months or years of cold turkey. No porn. Older men recover more quickly because their porn exposure has been less online and less during childhood. Young males are the worst affected. Why? Because it rewires your brain. This is not an easy thing to break. From the article, for some bizarre reason, we've made sex the province of scientists, not poets. I disagree with you on both. Look, I don't have any problem with scientists discovering that porn creates dopamine, which causes addiction. Thank you for your service. You're done now. And poets, philosophers have nothing to say. We, the church, are the ones who should be speaking. You know who should be known for pornography? The church! Not that we use it, but we talk about it. And we also offer help, and we've got a rescue, and we've got a fix. It's called the gospel. It can fix you. It can help you. And there are biblical principles because God wrote a book, and it's plenty wise, and it can break your habit. We are the ones with the solution. We are the ones who should be talking about this issue. We should not be blanching about this. We should be the ones who are out being prophetic voices. We know better. And we're not going to be embarrassed about this. Oh, they're such Puritans. You call us all the names that you want to, but you culture, you got a problem. And your problem isn't porn. Your problem is sin. That's your problem. And we are the sin people, are we not? Should we not be the ones talking about this? Finally, from the article, if porn persists, boys will not be boys at all. They'll be ghosts, never glimpsing the truth that few things are as erotic as love. Look at that. By remaining silent, not only we're not loving boys, we're not loving young men. They don't know what they are missing. They don't know. I don't think most Christian men know what they're missing. I think another way that the culture has influenced our brains, that Christian men don't revel, delight, and thrill in being married to an older woman. We are told by culture, Corvette, babe. And if you're older, get a younger. And I think in some ways that we have all been affected by that, and we're not delighting in the bride of our youth as they get older and wrinklier. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And yet, how many Christian men know that and enjoy that? Because how many Christian men are degrading themselves, their wives, and their families by looking at porn? We should be the porn people, but not for that reason. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.